The sermon series for December is titled, "And He Shall Be Called." It's based on Isaiah 9, Prophecies of the Savior. This week, the name is Wonderful Counselor. The reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. You can find it in the Red Pew Bible on page 638 in the Old Testament or on the screen or in your bulletin. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son given. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The Bible offers many names for Jesus. Can you help me with some of them? Shout them out. Savior, Lamb of God, King of Kings, Light of the World. A little louder. Bread of Life, Great Physician, Teacher, Rabbi, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, the Resurrection, and the Life, Emmanuel. The list goes on and on and on. The prophet Isaiah adds to that list, but he does it not at the time Jesus is born, but 700 years prior to Christ's birth. And he prophesied, as we heard this morning, "And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." These four names for Jesus will be our four message titles leading up to Christmas. And so you're invited right now to look at that space at the bottom of your page. Today, as we are talking about Wonderful Counselor, and if you want to add some notes for future. Counselor. What is a counselor? Well, Daniel got us off to a great start this morning. Counselor is actually one of the names for the Holy Spirit. And here Isaiah makes a tremendous intimate connection between Jesus, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. It's real interesting that in just a couple of weeks, we're going to preach upon Jesus' name being called Everlasting Father. Well, there we have the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus, being connected with the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. All to say this, the close workings, the intimate connections between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit almost cannot be separated. This God that we worship as three persons. Today we study the Wonderful Counselor and its connection to the Holy Spirit. In order to do that, we've got to turn all the way back to John chapter 14 and 16. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and as he's going to the cross, the disciples get very upset because Jesus has told them plainly he's going to die. And Jesus says this, "I've said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of all that I have said to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." You see, in Jesus' physical absence, the Holy Spirit is Jesus to us. That is how God is with us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't see him, we can't feel him, we can't touch him, but Jesus is with us in spirit. And the way that he functions in our lives, we're going to talk about today, is Wonderful Counselor. It impacts our lives in two very important ways. Number one, Jesus as counselor is our comforter. I thought Daniel was going to use that pillow a while ago as the word for counselor or comforter. But what it reminded me of when he was leaning on that pillow was the comfort of a warm bed on a cold day, or that favorite pillow that you snuggle up to. Other words for comforter would include helper, strengthener, one that stands by you. You see, particularly when we become afraid or when we're struggling or weak, we cannot navigate life very well on our own. We can't tackle the struggles, the highs and the lows and everything in between by ourselves. Matter of fact, all the way back to the creation story, we are reminded that we were not built, we were not created to go life alone. Remember the creation story. God created Adam. God created all the animals. God presented all the animals to Adam, and the scripture says this: there was not a partner that was found to be suitable for Adam. So God said, I will make him a helpmate. And who was that? Eve. Now, I'm not saying that we are not complete without marriage. What I am saying is that we are not complete without others. Others in our lives. And we are certainly not complete without God. You see, it's as we team together that we are able to make it through the mountains and the valleys, the highs and the lows, the good and the bad. For Jesus becomes our counselor, the one who gives us comfort and help and strength, who stands by us to team with us. One of the names, I think someone said it earlier, of Jesus is Emmanuel. We hear that during Christmas. Emmanuel means God is with us, by our side, leading, guiding. In my first church in South Texas, there were two women who were in their 80s, Florine and Lily Mae. Now, let me tell you, Florine could not see 15 feet in front of her. She was legally blind by this time, and Lily Mae did not have her driver's license. Yes, they did. So they teamed up together. They combined efforts to get to places just in the little town of Sinton. Florine drove the car while Lily Mae would tell her where to turn, when to apply the brake, when to change lanes, and where to park. Without each other, they were grounded. But between the two of them, they made one whole driver. Jesus makes us whole in those places where we are lacking. Where we are empty, he fills the gap. In the places where we're down, he raises us up. When we are weak, he becomes our strength. That's why he says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart. And then you will find rest for your soul. For my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Point being, we cannot navigate the ways of life and faith without the aid, without the input of the counselor, of God, of Jesus, who is our comforter, our helper, our strengthener, the one who stands by us. And you know, so many times, the way that God comes to us in a tangible way is through each other. Yes, we turn to the Bible. Yes, we turn in prayer. But so many times, God shows up for us in the flesh of each other. And so when we need that aid and strength and support, we lean on one another. And sometimes that comes from a friend or a spouse, a parent, a teacher, a family member. But other times when maybe it's a more serious situation, we need the help of a real professional. Some time ago, I was visiting with a man in the office about some marriage issues. In that conversation, I shared with him that I am not a professional counselor. And so actually, I took two classes in seminary, counseling, just enough to be dangerous. But my bag of tricks is about this deep. But there are people out there that have those gifts and that calling, that have gone to school and have received education for 6 and 8 and 10 and sometimes 12 years to be a professional counselor. I can pray with you. I can care in the name of Jesus. But sometimes we need a professional. I encouraged him to seek a professional. He had some doubt on his face, and so I shared this story with him. I told him that about 20 years ago, 13 years into our marriage, Tammy and I came to a place where we needed some outside help. We couldn't fix it on our own. We couldn't see it on our own. We were too close to it. We needed someone to look into us because we could not look into ourselves. Some distance, some perspective, some objectivity for us. And so as I shared this story, this man looked at me and his jaw dropped. His eyes got large. And he said, "You went to counseling?" I said, "Yep." Unbelievable that it gave him great permission to make that appointment for he and his wife. And they have continued that journey of healing. It's the people who know that they need help and call upon God's counsel that is offered through the resources and gifts that God provides in this life. It's those who know that who actually get better, have a chance at it. You know, we apply it in different situations. If your car is broken, you can't fix it. Where do you take it? To a mechanic. If your arm is broken, you can't fix it. Where do you take it? To the doctor, to the ER. If you in your mind or your heart are somewhat broken and you can't fix it, you go to a therapist. If we in our marriage relationships need some sort of push to get off of center, or someone to look and breathe life and input into our hearts and lives, where do we go? We go to a counselor. God puts these people as gifts in our life. The wonderful counselor shows up through us, through the gifts and the blessings of the people around us, where we might experience that full and abundant life that God intends for us. You see, Jesus is the wonderful counselor. But the way that he shows up isn't in the person of Jesus. He shows up through his word. Shows up in prayer. And many, many times, because we need it, he shows up in the flesh of one another. You know, he says it in the scripture, wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am. There I am in a special way for you. Yes, Jesus is our counselor who is our comforter. And number two, our second point today, Jesus as counselor is our advocate. Other parallel words for the name advocate are these: intercessor, mediator, representative, which all are roles of people who intervene for us. When my dad passed away about a year and a half ago, things were a mess. Well, things were a mess before because he had, as many of you know, some of you know, an addiction to gambling. And so when he passed away, it was not 18 hours later that I started receiving phone calls from people that had loaned him money, bookies, banks, loan sharks. I was afraid some of them were going to be the mafia. They were leaning my way for payment. Sort of freaked out. I didn't know what to do. I needed a representative. I needed an advocate to intervene for me in these delicate and difficult issues. I actually needed legal counsel. So I called upon, Norm Nevins. Good old Norm. Pat him on the back. He is retiring at the end of December after 51 years of practice. He was our knight in shining armor. Norm was the one who stood between us and the judge. He stood between us and those that Dad had owed money, between us and the courts. He stood with us in these uncharted waters. He was the one who advised and defended on our behalf. Norm was our middleman. You see, Jesus is our middleman. He came to earth to represent God before us. And he goes to heaven and he represents us before God. That is, in one way, why he's called Son of God and Son of Man, Son of Humanity. For you see, in every single way except for sin, he was human in front of God. And he was God divine in front of us. He represents both for both. And as our personal advocate, Jesus defends us in the heavenly courts. Often in the Bible, when we read, we hear about judgment, right? That is a courtroom setting. God sits on the throne and he judges. We know that the wages of sin is death, Romans 3. And by God's standards, someone has to pay. These sins don't just get erased over here because God says, oh, okay, that's fine. Y'all go away. Sins are forgiven. Somebody's got to bleed. Somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to pay the punishment for our sin. And so Jesus is our advocate that steps in to shed his blood, to break his body, so that our sins might be erased. You see, it was on that hill outside of Jerusalem that this defense lawyer of ours freely allowed himself to be nailed hanging on a cross. Advocate between heaven and hell, advocate between divine God, holy, and broken sinner. And he advocates for us not because we're good, because we're not by God's standards. He advocates on behalf of his innocent blood, which intervenes for our sin. There's a book titled Miracle on the River Kwai. It's a story about World War II. Japanese captors barbarically forced their prisoners of war to label and build a jungle railroad. And it includes all the ugly atrocities that a war, anything you can imagine. Well, one afternoon, there was a shovel that was missing. The Japanese officer in charge became enraged. He demanded that the missing shovel be produced immediately or else. All the prisoners stood at attention, but no one spoke up. The officer pulled out his pistol and he said, "You're all gonna die unless I find that shovel or the person responsible steps forward." And everyone knew that he meant serious business. About then, there was a British prisoner who stepped forward. The Japanese officer put his pistol back in his holster and he picked up a shovel and he beat the Brit to death. After this bloody fest was over, they took a second inventory of all the shovels, and it was discovered that there was not a shovel that was missing. They had miscounted the first time. The British officer had innocently intervened and given his life so that all the others would be saved. We are in the Christmas season, but it is not too early to be thinking about the reason for which Jesus was born. This wonderful counselor comes to be our advocate. He was born not just to be a sweet baby lying in a manger with angels singing, but he was born to bleed, to suffer, and to die for our sins, and then to rise again to give us new and eternal life. It's amazing as you listen to the Advent and Christmas carols about how so many of them foreshadow Good Friday. That's not just about the stars and the angels and the manger. We sang it earlier. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captives. That's about Jesus buying our salvation. Hark the glad sound. He comes the prisoners to release, is what that song says. Good Christian friends, rejoice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. And hark the herald angels sing. It says, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Yes, we are in the midst of celebrating Christmas. But lest we forget that this little baby grows up to be the one who gives us comfort in our struggles and sorrows. And he comes to bring us advocacy for the sake of our salvation. This, brothers and sisters, is our wonderful counselor. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in faith with Christ Jesus.